you for that special music. It certainly fits right in where we're at this morning hour. One of the reasons I am speaking this morning and next two Sunday mornings, if the Lord hasn't come, is that's because we believe in the persecution of the saints, and I'm able as anybody to persecute the saints. So thank you for all your endurance of sitting through messages and things of the Word of God. The Word of God is not what brings the persecution. It's the speaker indeed. If I'd been looking for an outline for the message this morning, it would have been right in that song the congregation just sung together. My hope is in the Lord. That would be just fit as an outline, so it's great it was sung. It'll come right in of where we're at, and you will see it, I trust, as we work along. And I take you back to Colossians this morning hour, chapter 1. We did read from Acts, and we'll show you why as we move along a little bit this morning hour. Now, this is one of those mornings when your body, your eyes, don't really know what time it is. They're kind of all out of whack with regard to what's going on. So if you feel like you just got to have a big old yawn, go ahead. Or if you just feel like, boy, I'm kind of, well, you know, maybe you need a little extra hour of sleep. And you do what needs to be done. We'll just try to give some of the things of the Scriptures. Even before I knew the Lord as Savior, before in His great graciousness He had moved me into the kingdom of His dear Son, one of the songs that was sung in the little church way out in the country where I occasionally attended as a kid, one of the songs that the folks sung so robustly was that of "He Ransomed Me." It's not in too many hymn books anymore, and I think that's too bad, but that's just my opinion. But He ransomed me, and the song goes, there's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. And His loving kindness sought me, and from sin and shame has brought me. Hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me, delivered me, rescued me, conveyed me, moved me. Out of darkness into light. So the chorus is, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, singing glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. Colossians, in the verses we're looking into in chapter 1, as you come down to verse 11 and 12, and we've tried to dig in there just a little bit, this is your testimony. This is talking about you. When you read down through the Scriptures here in this portion, about the first eight or nine verses, as the Spirit of God has Paul to write, he speaks with regard to you. That is, he writes to the congregation at Colossae, that little church out on the backside of Ephesus, kind of way out in the middle of nowhere, where Epaphras, the man, had become saved, probably under Paul's ministry, as he probably walked from Colossae down to Ephesus, there in the land of Turkey today, and came to know Christ, which Paul alludes to here in the first few verses of Colossians, and then back there, and probably he was the man that Paul used to plant the church in Colossae. And so a little group got together, those who were redeemed, and we have this letter written by Paul to the church, a church that he never visited, but we have these wonderful words. And when you look at the first 7, 8, 9 verses, he writes to you, that is the congregation there. And then when you get down to the verses we're considering, when you get down around verse 12 in that song that fit so well this morning, you know, to give thanks, thank you, oh my Father, we see him change his recognition of who he's writing to. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, has made meet us. Now he's talking about them at the congregation at the church of Colossae, and he, Paul, and the missionaries with him. We know Timothy is with him from verse 1. And so now he changes from you to us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light or in the light. He has something positive for sure. It's taken place. He has delivered us, speaking of the Father, from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his the Son of his love, or into that of his dear Son. And then from verse 14, when he says, in whom, or in him. Now from verse 14 and on, he talks all about the Son. I think some of the most glorious portions in all of the Word of God with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and who he is. Well, right now, we're just thinking a little bit there in Colossians and chapter 1 and verses 11 and 12 and 12 and 13 and giving thanks. Professed believers, as you are, he says we're supposed to be doing something, and that's giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father. Why? Why do we do that? You say, well, things aren't so great in my life. There's lots of challenges and difficulties, and this is going on in the world. And why would I be giving thanks to him? And the question is answered right there as well in the same verses, because he has qualified us, made us meet, enabled you to be part of the lot, partakers, to share in the inheritance to the saints, your inheritance. When God the Holy Spirit wanted Peter to kind of bring this out in another location and give the clarity with regard to it as well, we have 1 Peter chapter 2 and these words that are written. I'll see if I can find them, and you're welcome to as well. But 1 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9 it reads, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." It's our whole message. It was the message of the song that you sung just before the message that we have here. Philippians 2:15 brings that in there as well. Well, turn on the light. Have you ever heard that? Or where's the light? When I was a kid on the farm and something would break down, and you were designated to be the light holder. Hold the light so that whoever was working on a piece of equipment could see what was going on. We didn't have many lights on the farm, in the house, or in the barn. In fact, I remember when lights were put in the barn, when we no longer used the lanterns. The greatness of a joy of having light, you know, turn on the light. We are lovers of the light. I often say to people who are sitting in the dark, you know, I've got the light turned down, or I'm saving electricity or something. And I would say, well, you know, we're people of the light. Turn the light on. Let it be known, you know, let it clearly be seen, identified with regard to it. And it's very obvious, isn't it, in a dark room when a light is turned on. Isn't that obvious? There's a difference. It's dark, and the light is turned on, and it becomes very obvious. It's clear. We're so used to it, we don't even say a thing about it. It's so dark and turn the light on and how, you know, the difference. And it's obvious when individuals are made to be saints of the light or those that belong to Christ. And now we have this very descriptive phrase that's put out here before us. This title, it's a title of your of who you are. So many titles given to us in the Word of God to display the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us. And here's this one, this title, Saints of the Light. Individuals who've been delivered by the Father from the power of darkness, verse 13. From the power of darkness, been delivered, have been translated, have been conveyed, have been lifted over into the kingdom of His dear Son. On the farm where I was brought up in the early days, we actually did the haying still with horses and hay loaders, and I know some in this area do that, but when we moved into the area of balers, baling up the hay, and the hay had to get on the wagon, and then from the wagon into the barn, and so an instrument called a conveyor was purchased and used to convey the hay. My dad had lots of boy power, a whole bunch of boys, and we liked to show off how much we could lift. And so picking up the bales and how fast we could do it and get them on the conveyor and how fast we could unload a load of hay and get it up in the barn, get it put away. But it had to be conveyed from one very definite location by way of the conveyor was moved to another very different location and put away therein. It was moved. And so at at the working of God, the movement of God the Father delivered you. Here's your message. Here is your song. Here is your story. Here are the days of your life right here in verses 12 and down into verse 13. Glorious story. You're moved into the kingdom of His dear Son. We don't hear much or say much about the word dear anymore. Very seldom in a text message do you get dear so-and-so. But it was a common and should be greeting, right, in a letter, dear so-and-so. What are we thinking about when we use the word dear? We're thinking of someone very precious, perhaps someone we're in love with. It's interesting to note the word dear in a little study of it when you go back into some of the languages. It actually did come from a meaning of the word something precious like a deer, D-E-E-R. And you study it in the different older languages, and it's kind of interesting to do. Now, I'll give you a little illustration. The other speaker, Mr. Binkley, he doesn't love the right deer. That is, he loves tractors that are red and not the ones that are green. So you get after him when he comes. You know, it's deer. I know, spelled a little differently, John Deere. But the word deer ought to bring to our minds the thought and the expression with regard to Jesus Christ, who is dear to us, precious to us. We love Him. He's important. He's beyond measure with regard to the value that can be put up on Him. And so we have here His dear Son, which means the Son of His love, the Son of the Father's love, who sent Him that we might have this message right here. And you might look right at Colossians and you'd say, right there, that's me. That's what the Father did for me. I couldn't do it. And I didn't do it for myself. The Father has done it all. And again, the song this morning we sung, My Hope is in the Lord. Right there, right on tune with regard to it. Now verse 13, as you're looking at it this morning, keeping your eyes open, and you'll note there it says, He has delivered us from. Very important little word. He's delivered us from. It means totally out of. Moved us, as the word is used here, of conveyed in the same verse. He has moved us from the power of darkness and conveyed. He's translated. He's moved us from one definite spot of darkness into the definite spot of life. He's moved us from a spot of death, and He's moved us into that of life. He is the one who has done that for us. These verses are about us. It's about you. What the Father has done for you. This is your story. This is your song. Right here. Moved us into the kingdom, Son of His love. Beautiful place to be. From darkness, He has placed us into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the light, love of the Father. So the Holy Spirit saying here, setting before us that we give thanks to the Father. As saints of light, saints and light referring to, equated to, one in the same. Well, we take a little bit here on a bright Sunday morning and just remind ourselves of some things with regard to the light, a reference to the light. And there are multitudes of verses, as you well know, the Bible with regard to light and multitude with darkness and the way of them being looked at in the difference with regard to them. But I want to remind myself and you this morning hour that in the Bible, light, used in its picture form, always includes three elements. One, two, three. Light in the Bible always includes three elements. So I'll see if you agree with me on this. Light in the Bible always refers to the truth. Always refers to the truth. Light in the Bible always refers to holiness. Light in the Bible refers to holiness. Light in the Bible always refers to you thinking about my third one? Light in the Bible always refers to joy. Joyfulness. Or you could word it this way. Light in the Bible always has the element of truth, purity, and gladness. Light in the Bible always has these three elements: truth, holiness, and joy. And you know what they are? They are our inheritance right now. This is your inheritance right now. Think on it in all the songs you sing with regard to Christ, the Father, light, the truth, holiness, joy, gladness, purity. This is your inheritance. How many times have someone said to you when you're going through that great struggle and trial, and some of you are right now, how can you be so happy? How can you keep up, lifted up so well? And your testimony is, it's not me, it's the Lord in me. I'm in the light. I've been made holy by the Lord. The truth of God's word is what it is. The joy comes from Him. Now, the results of our salvation brought out here in these verses are described in various ways down through the scriptures. And of course, you know the phrase, which is, again, course, true and out of the Word of God. God is light. 1 John 1:5, right? God is light. Just a truth, straightforward, out of the Scriptures. What's that speak of? God is, well, He's truth, His holiness, joy. We also have John 8:12. Remember when Christ said, He was the light, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then we have in the Scriptures describing the light with regard to it being a... Well, you tell me, Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a... my path, yeah. And you know the emphasis of that verse of years gone by? Today you can go out and buy a flashlight that has a million and a half looms out there, you know. You can light up your neighborhood, your neighbor's house, and the next one to it, you know. At the same time, with turning a light on. Well, here in the Scriptures is talking about literally just where I put my next foot. You know, it's a lamp. Just where my foot's going to go. And light unto my path. So it's showing me as I walk along just where the next foot goes. So my confidence is in the Lord by His Word leading me day by day, moment by moment, the truths of the Scriptures being that of step by step. Now the next one I'd like you to hold your place in Colossians and go over to Thessalonians. Not too far ahead, a couple pages in my Bible, but... we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5:5. We're reminded that Thessalonians is that book you cannot enunciate if you have no teeth or you lose your teeth. Just try to say it without using your teeth. So it's a reminder of some of the things that are in it, I think, but that's just me. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are sons of what? You all are sons. What are you sons of? Yeah, yeah. That's your designated title. That's who you are. You're that person of holiness and the truth and joy. All sons of light and sons of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, verse 6, let us not sleep. Good admonition for us this morning, right? As others do, let us watch and be sober. Be alert. Pay attention. And you can read the rest there. But just a reminder that believers are described as children of the light of the day. Also, we're reminded, and I know you know this well, when you come down to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23, where we have described for us heaven, glory, eternity, and it's described as light. It's described as Christ, the light, no need of light. Revelation 21 actually goes on into chapter from 23 into chapter 22. That is 21, 23 into chapter 22. Song was, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, right? Got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Question is, do you know? Have you got a home in glory? A place it's set aside for you. When you come back to Colossians and thinking about this, your life, and this, your testimony, and this being your song, and this is what Paul wrote about as he spoke about as he gave his testimony that we read earlier in chapter 26 of Acts. It has to do with all this information here that Paul was rejoicing in and writing as a testimony, or speaking as a testimony. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us, Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom, the Son of His love. We have this reference to darkness and being delivered from it, from the power or the authority of darkness. And that always speaks of Satan, the devil, in the scriptures, of his authority and power and being delivered from it. It's what took place at the time of redemption as well. And so darkness in the Bible also has three elements with regard to it. Darkness in the Bible always has these three elements with regard to it. It always has the element of error. Not truth, but error. It always has the element of impurity. And it always has the element of misery. Error, impurity, misery. The power of darkness. It's that which is untrue, unholy, an unhappy darkness. My dad did not know Christ as Savior. My dad had a great disdain for folks who were Christians or said they were, professed to be, or actually were, and would tell lots of stories. And since he knew I not only went to church but believed the things of the Bible, my dad was always kind of pouring things onto me. And I remember working with him one day up underneath one of the combines on the farm, and it was a very, very hot day. And then you get together in this little area up underneath the chutes of the combine, and there you're working with hammer and heat and chisel, and my dad was, every other word was a swear word as he was banging to loosen up something. And he looks at me and says, "What would your preacher say anyway if he was working in here?" And I seldom answered him with regard to such things. Oh, there's no reason to. He knew. He just wanted to hammer on me a little bit. And one time he came back from being away doing something, working with someone else on a truck. And as he came back, he said, "Well, I found out some good things today, something I hadn't heard before." And he says, "You know, I heard hell isn't so bad." And again, I was just a kid, and I didn't respond or say anything. And he says, "Yeah, it's not so bad. You don't have to shovel coal there anymore. Everything is just automatic." You know, when you're in darkness, you're in darkness. And when things are untrue, they're just untrue. And they have no purity about them. It's misery. Here in John, you remember the words well as Christ spoke to Nicodemus in John 3 in verse 19. He says, "This is the condemnation, that the light has come where, folks? The light has come into the world." Of course, John chapter 1 brings that little testimony. "And men loved darkness, things of error, unholiness, and misery, rather than light. The reason being, their deeds are evil," or were evil, and they are. For everyone, verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. You have been conveyed, translated, moved from that kingdom, that power of darkness, and brought into the light. I remind myself and you as things of darkness and the illustration again of what it's referring to in the scriptures. One is there in 1 John 2:11. 1 John 2:11. It says, hating your brother is walking in darkness, not in the light. And Romans 13 also tells us about casting off, throwing aside the works of darkness. 1 John 1:5, which speaks of and describes God as light, it also says, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. When the Lord Jesus described his arrest and ultimately his death, he said it's the hour and the power of darkness. Luke 22:53. And then we're reminded that part of that great tribulation time yet to come upon all the earth is described as the kingdom of the beast, and that it is full of darkness. Revelation 16:10-11. One of the great bowls dumped out at the command of the Lord Jesus upon the earth, full of darkness. I got a very vivid illustration jarred into my life as about the age of, I think it was 17, we'd moved to a new farm. My dad did what I called the last great cattle drive in Chenango County, New York State. We literally let the cows out of the barn and drove them right up the main road. Didn't make a lot of truck drivers happy, but we got up the road a ways to another farm that we were using, renting, and we let those cows out. So about the last mile, about 100 cows, I call it the last cattle drive. Anyway, having moved to this bigger and better farm, I would get home from school at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was about dark when I got home from school in the fall. And someone had not told me of some work that was done on the farm while I was at school. They had brought in a backhoe and had dug a ditch. In that section of New York, you got to be at least 4 foot, and you're better off if you're 6 foot down to put pipes down. And so they had dug a trench about 40 feet long, and it was 6 foot deep. And I come out of the house. It was dark. I mean, one of those real dark nights. And walked up the hill, and my feet everything just dropped out from underneath me. And that was shocking. It was dark. And I didn't know where I was. It just walking along, and you're gone. And you know, you try to, I'll get out, but I couldn't reach the top. And not having the slightest idea what to do or where to go. And so I picked, I guess, the right direction to walk, because the way I went, it gradually went uphill and out of the ditch and later that night, my dad said, "Did you find the hole?" Too late, you know, to tell me now what was going on. But I tell you, that was dark, startling. Not only took the breath away from falling, but the breath away of what? Where am I at? What's happening? I got a very vivid picture, feeling, with regard to the powerfulness of darkness. And it brings back to my mind the testimony that we have in Colossians, that I have been, you have been moved from, conveyed from that darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm glad to report it wasn't too long after that that a very large outdoor light was placed on the pole from where we got. Well, let's just kind of put it together in a little package and go home here with all these things rolling around in our hearts and minds. And from all of the work of love of the Father for us, his saints, we grasp just two things here. Very important. Two hands, get a hold of them. The two-handed grip. Things to get a hold of. And this word translated or conveyed indicates something actually took place. In the next verse, he says, we've been redeemed, right? Redeemed, how we love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. When you see that in verse 14, in whom we have redemption, we're reminded that our inheritance, our deliverance, our transference had nothing to do with us or our merit. It was just a blessing from God. We're to receive it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has accomplished all of what's in verse 11, 12, 13. We're to believe it and enjoy it. Believe it and enjoy it. And what have I got to do to get that? It's like when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, you know, and they were singing praises at midnight, and the earthquake took place, and God opened the doors, and the jailer came in, and he brought in a light. Remember that? Men with a light. And he said, his first statement to them was, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, the real short answer is, you can't do a thing. It's the mercy and the grace of God is not with you. But, he says here, as we're reminded of redemption, to believe and receive what Christ has done, what the Father has given us. Believe it and receive it. You say, what's the formula? Read it here, believe it, receive it. What are the 15 things I got to do to have it? No. Believe it. What is written in the book? Believe it. Receive it. The blessings of grace from the hand of God. My wife and I were ministering. I was pastoring in a little spot in the road called Belfast, New York. And one of the men there was a farmer. Had been. He was off the farm, still on the farm, but not working the farm, when we were there in the 70s. And he'd love to tell the story. Him and his wife started going to church. The kids were beginning to get a few years on them, and they had gotten invited. And he says, "You know what I went to church for the first several months?" Says, I love to hear the people sing. the songs of the Scriptures. And it was the songs of the Scriptures, songs based upon Scriptures, that God used to bring him to salvation. So much so that one morning as he was thinking of the songs and he was trying to remember them and sing them, he was in his barn up in the silo, and the days when you were throwing out the silage by fork down to the cows, and he's thinking of the songs and what the songs said, and I fell on my knees right there in the silo. I just believed what the message of the Bible said. Believe it. God who conveys one out of darkness into light. Believe and receive. The second great truth here we close with is this. Because of what God has done, we are able to respond and live to the Father's glory. Because of what the Father has done, we're able to respond. Remember, he has made us meet, qualified us. What am I able to do now? I can trust him. I can trust God. What am I able to do? I'm able to be thankful. What am I able to do? I am able to obey God. And I'm able to testify of him. When we read there at the beginning, toward the beginning of our service from Acts and chapter 26, remember those words as we close with them? Started with them, we'll kind of close with them here. Remember what Paul said, Christ had said to him? Verse 15, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He says, now I need to get up on your feet. I've appeared to you for a purpose. God's redeemed you for a purpose. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you. Down to verse 18. And he's going to give him a task. It's to open their eyes in order to turn them from what? Darkness to light. From the power of Satan to God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and a what? Inheritance. Among those who are sanctified to faith in me. Paul, when he's here in when he was sent the letter to Colossae, he's reviewing, even in this little section of the book to Colossians, his testimony with regard to what took place with regard to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. And the song is Hallelujah, 'Tis Done. Remember that? 'Tis the promise of God, full salvation to give. Unto him who on Jesus, his Son, will believe. Hallelujah, 'tis done. I believe on the Son. I am saved by the blood of the crucified one, which is what we head into in the next verses there in Colossians. Be thankful that you have Your testimony is written out in Colossians 1, 12 and 13. That's you. That's you right there. what God has done and where you're at this moment. Our encouragement is to believe what the Word of God says. Our encouragement to each one here this morning hour, whatever age we might be at and how long we've sat in church services, have you been conveyed from the power of darkness by God into the kingdom of His dear Son? Have you believed what is written in the book? We encourage you to do that. Our Father, as we pray, we thank you for your word. We're ever humbled as we look at it. We know it's not of us to will or to do, but we thank you that we can throw ourselves upon your grace and your mercy and know you'll do great things for your name's sake, even through us, whom you have removed from darkness and placed into the light. That you find us being as you would have us to be in a crooked world this week, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.